Yeah, and you're back with Annie on 3CR's Breakfast Show, and I attended the launch of the ISJ No Crime, No Time, Fix Victoria's Bail Law Now campaign, and I thought it would be worthwhile hearing some of the voices of people who were up close to the outcomes, very negative outcomes of the reactive bail laws that were brought in as a law and order response. And we're entering into the next phase of Victorian elections because they're coming up in November. You thought that just when you thought it was safe to leave the house after the federal election, we're going to be leading into the Victorian election in November. And the Aboriginal Legal Service, Indigenous Social Justice Association as well, are leading the charge in trying to make see the necessity of making the No Crime, No Time campaign an important element in this election. First up, we've got Karen Fletcher. She's from an organisation called Flat Out.
I'd like to go to Karen Fletcher from Flat Out.
Hello and thank you for the invitation. I'm Karen, I'm the Executive Officer at Flat Out. I'm coming to you from also from the lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung of the Kulin Nation. I'd like to pay my respects to Elders past and present, any Aboriginal people with us tonight, and to the struggle of the Aboriginal people against incarceration as a weapon of colonialism in this country, which continues and expands today. And remember all the struggles of people who have been imprisoned, I think, in Australia's first prisons. Lots of people trace back imprisonment in Australia to the convicts, but probably the biggest parallel to the prisons that we see operating around us today is the prison islands and other sort of penal facilities that gathered Aboriginal people and removed them from their land, and particularly targeted leaders of the Aboriginal resistance to invasion and colonisation. And I think we need to develop in Australia a bit of an analysis of that to ground us as we build this campaign and campaigns like it in the history of this country, as, say, for example, Angela Davis and other writers have done in the United States with their analysis of how slavery has, you know, been the genesis of the racist mass incarceration regime in the US. No doubt in my mind that it's the invasion and colonisation and the dispossession of Aboriginal people from their land that's the basis for the prison system we see today, and why it remains so racist and causes the death, as we've noted, of so many Aboriginal people, including here our own sisters Veronica Nelson and Ms Cal Garrett in the last 2 years at the Dame Phyllis Frost Centre. So Flat Out is an organisation that's been around for 33 years. We're in the Queen Victoria Women's Centre at the moment. We're part of a campaign at the moment, the Homes Not Prisons campaign. It's a letter campaign that we're in with a bunch of other organisations and individuals. It's led by people with lived experience of imprisonment and criminalisation, and by First Nations women. So yes, we started off as an organisation called Women Against Prison. In the time of the Fairley Women's Prison, and it's hard to imagine now, but there were less than 100 women in prison in Victoria at that time when Women Against Prison was organising against the placement of prison from Fairley into the men's prison and the Jika Jika unit at Pentridge, and then against the closure of Fairley Women's Prison and the construction of the mega prison for women, now called Dame Phyllis Frost. So, yeah, we've gone from less than 100 women incarcerated to now reached a height in 2018 of around 550 women. Dame Phyllis has capacity for 605. And what we're campaigning against in the Homes Not Prisons campaign is the expansion of the capacity of Dame Phyllis Frost from 605 to add another 106 beds to take it to 611. And the reason for that expansion is because of the bail laws. So you're going straight to the root cause of why prisons are expanding in Victoria. The numbers of women who are in Dame Phyllis Frost who have not been convicted of any offence are extraordinary. They're now over 60% of the population of the prison, and 80% of women who come into the prison every month come in on remand. They've been charged with offences, but they have not been convicted of anything. And the majority of them are never convicted of anything. There's a proportion who go on to win their trials. There's a bigger proportion who go on to plead guilty and get a what's called a time served for the time that they've spent on remand for the offences. And the pressure on women to do that, even if they've got a defence to the charges, is enormous. And that's because the majority of them are mothers and they're desperate to get out to their children, and their children need them. Are, you know, in many cases in state care or residential care or other unsafe situations, and women have a choice. You can stay in prison on remand for a year or 2 years waiting for your trial, or you can plead guilty, whether you did it or not, and be released on time served and get home to your kids, and you know what women are going to choose. So there's a vast underreporting of the number of women who actually are not guilty of anything but have been pressured to plead guilty because of all those pressures. And that we see that far too often. We work with women coming out of prison to give them support through housing and other supports that they need when they come out. And the impact of the pressure on them, because the first thing on their mind is to take care of their children, the pressure of this overuse of remand is enormous. I'll just say a couple of things about the cost of this vastly increasing population of women in prison, and particularly Aboriginal women in prison. I think, as the other speakers have said, the fastest growing prison population in Victoria is women, and even faster is Aboriginal women. It's disproportionate, and that is because of the bail laws and how they're operating to imprison people who pose no risk to community safety and don't have the access to legal representation and services to deal with that. The cost of the expansion of Dame Phyllis Cross is $188.9 million just for the buildings. That's not running costs. And we've calculated that would purchase 1,000 public housing units. That's our name, Homes Not Prisons, because we're saying, let's not spend this money on prisons. Let's spend it on public housing, which is what criminalised women and their kids need to be able to stay together and live lives safely and free of violence. The use of money in Victoria for prisons and police is a scandal. This expansion is just part of a $1.8 billion expansion that was in the 2019-20 budget for all prisons across Victoria, and that includes the new mega prison, thousands of beds at Chisholm Road in Geelong for men. I mean, of course, the same thing is happening in the men's system. It's just that the men's population is not growing as fast as the women's population. And, yeah, Flat Out is a women's organisation, so we look at this through a gender lens. Because we're talking about women, they are much more likely to be primary carers, i.e. mothers for children, and have primary responsibility. The other gender issue that is relevant is that they are almost 100% survivors of childhood sexual abuse, family violence or other forms of violence, and many of them are self-medicating for the trauma that has never been treated through the use of illicit drugs, and it's actually the use of those drugs that sees them criminalised in many cases. So we're also supporters of the decriminalisation of drugs and the provision of rehabilitation rather than imprisonment. As you've seen through the Veronica Nelson inquiry, it's been reported in the news, you will know that prisons are extremely harmful and dangerous places. You will have seen that Veronica was locked in a cell which had a sign on the door that said, do not open, even though she was incredibly unwell and nobody had a key to get her out, and she died in there screaming out in pain. And the officer who was on duty at the time, who heard all of that through the intercom, told the coroner's inquiry that there was nothing unusual about that shift. She didn't go and check Veronica at the end of her shift. She thought Veronica had fallen asleep, so she left her shift at 8 o'clock in the morning without even knowing that Veronica had died, and she told the court that it was a normal shift. So that means that happens every night in the Yarra unit, which is the remand unit at DPSC. It's happening tonight. It happened last night. It happens every shift. People are coming in, withdrawing from drugs without proper medical treatment, because the medical treatment provided by WellPath, the US conglomerate at DPFC, is completely inadequate. People are just left to withdraw by themselves. And as we know, Veronica was already in very poor health, and that's the case for a lot of Aboriginal women and women in the system. They come from backgrounds of poverty and trauma and do suffer poor health already. So getting locked in a cell with no treatment to withdraw by themselves without support is incredibly dangerous. And Veronica died, but there are plenty more women who came close to death or suffered enormous trauma in those cells. and expanding them is unconscionable. So we're very pleased to support the campaign against the bail laws. That onus of proving that you're not a risk to anybody should not be on the women that are dragged before the court by the police. The police should be under an obligation. I mean, God knows they get enough funds for them to be able to put together a case as to why somebody poses a risk. They didn't do that work in relation to Gargasoulis, and look what happened. And if you read the Gargasoulis coronial inquest, you'll see that the coroner tore strips off the police because they was very clear that that person did pose a risk, and the police did not do the work to make sure that that risk was addressed. And now they've put that failure onto women and other people, vulnerable people being put in prison. Thank you so much for the invitation. Flat Out is right behind this campaign.
You're listening to Radical Radio 3CR.
So now I'm going to go to Alison Thorne from Istia, Melbourne, or Istia Nam.
Okay, well, thank you. And it's fantastic to be following on from four very amazing speakers. Thank you to Jane at the start on behalf of Istia for her acknowledgement, which I echo. Now, the Indigenous Social Justice Association Melbourne is really keen to work with others to generate as much community pressure as possible around the demand to remove the reverse onus provision in Victoria's bail laws ahead of the November state election. History is something that tells us that state elections can tend to become a dismal law and order race to the bottom, with governments and oppositions trying to outbid each other on more spending for police and prisons, increased police powers, and a grab bag of general tough-on-crime repressive measures. Our goal of this campaign is to collaborate with those who are already passionate about this issue, like those who've logged in this evening, but we also want to reach out and connect with those who've not thought a lot about these issues. We want to provide factual information and convince them that a key election issue is that Victoria's bail laws must change now. Tragically, much of the work of the movement campaigning to stop Aboriginal deaths in custody goes into the very necessary work of supporting grieving families, of attending coroner's court hearings, and protesting after yet another death in custody has happened. And one of the things that we know all too well is that the central finding of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody last century was that First Nations people are dying at such a shocking rate in police and prison custody because they are massively overrepresented due to racial profiling and other factors. And a crucial recommendation was that imprisonment must be the sanction of very last resort. The No Crime, No Time, Fix Victoria's Bail Laws Now campaign is a proactive effort taking aim at a central cause of the ballooning imprisonment rate in this state. And every night, as Karen has just said, we have people on remand, just like Ms. Nelson Walker, who are denied bail and locked up for very minor infringements that are so petty that they don't even result in a prison sentence. So we have three key demands that the Victorian government must act on. We want to get unsentenced people who were on remand out of Victorian prisons. We want to remove the reverse onus provisions in the Bail Act, and we want to create a presumption in favour of bail, placing the onus on the prosecution to demonstrate why bail should not be granted. Nationally, imprisonment rates are currently the highest they've been for a century. Just think about that for a minute. They're well above the OECD average. Incarceration in Australia is the third highest in the OECD, just behind Turkey and Colombia. They've been steadily increasing since the 1980s. The number of people per 100,000 who are in prison has more than doubled since then. The rate of increase has climbed most steeply in the 21st century. So the situation is actually getting worse and worse, and we simply cannot allow this to continue. The imprisonment rate is the highest in the Northern Territory and Western Australia, but all jurisdictions, including Victoria, have seen imprisonment rise and rise significantly. Late last year, ISJA studied the Productivity Commission's report, Australia's Prison Dilemma. And this research examined how Australia's approach to imprisonment is failing. Now, I have to say, it's an important report, even though it's not a radical report. It's merely one where the analysis is data-driven, and the data is powerful. In 2019-20, the prison system cost taxpayers $5.2 billion. Think about that figure. The system costs $330 per prisoner per day. And when it comes to cost, our view in ISJA is clear. Imagine if that money was spent on increased public housing, on increasing Newstart, on addressing health issues such as addiction and mental ill health, and importantly, on culturally safe programs led by First Nations communities. Instead of funding more cops and building more prisons, we want to see resources redirected to much needed community support. And that's why we too are enthusiastic supporters of the Homes Not Prisons campaign. The Productivity Commission explains the bulging prisons across the country, including here in Victoria, concluding that this is a result of policy choice. In other words, it's because of what governments choose to do. As a result of these choices, the criminal justice system is seriously going in the wrong direction. So let's look at the choices made in Victoria. And Karen has already talked a little bit about this. In 2017, the Victorian government made a policy choice to respond to saturation media coverage after two high-profile crimes committed by people on bail, Adrian Bailey and James Gargasoulis. And as a result, Victoria now has the toughest bail laws in the country. The average time on remand in Victoria is 5.7 months. It's a bloody disgrace. And those paying the price, who we've heard this evening, are women and First Nations people, with First Nations women doing it toughest of all. Consider this. In Victoria, 53% of women in prison are on remand, and 89% of First Nations women entering prison have not been sentenced. Many of these people are mothers who are then separated from their children, resulting in further trauma. Now, ISJA Melbourne characterises this as a racist and sexist disgrace. Change is needed and the time frame is urgent. We don't have time. We don't have years to wait. The time to act is now. The other interesting aspect of the Productivity Commission data is that it shows that while imprisonment rates just continue to go through the roof, up and up, taking an evidence-based approach, the data shows that crime rates are actually going down. When all the information is put together, the Productivity Commission concludes, while imprisonment growth is driven by different factors in each jurisdiction, there's a common move towards more punitive policy approaches seen in increasing sentence lengths and a higher likelihood of receiving a prison sentence. So what does ISGEM Melbourne want to achieve from this campaign? These are our objectives. We want to build awareness in the community about the drivers behind the ballooning imprisonment rates and educate about the key findings from the Productivity Commission report, Australia's Prison Dilemma, that I've just spoken about. We want to challenge the knee-jerk law and order agenda and highlight how such responses are key reasons why the central recommendations of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody have not been implemented.
No crime, no time. Fix Victoria's bail laws now.
Prisons are bursting at the seams with poor people. ISGEM Melbourne is calling on the Victorian government to release unsentenced people on remand from Victorian prisons. First Nations people are 3% of the population, yet represent 29% of the general prison population.
89% of First Nations women entering prison are unsentenced.
ISGEM Melbourne is asking you to sign the No Crime, No Time petition,
which can be found on ISGEM Melbourne's Facebook page.
Indigenous Social Justice Association Melbourne is a 3CR supporter.